that we can believe what the singers have sung to us. Also to us, the heaven is open, the glory is ready. We just wait that the Lord takes us home and that we then will be with Him forever. And that we say to this veil of tears, yes, whether we shall say now goodbye or adieu, doesn't matter. We will only come back when everything has been cleaned up and when the Lord God establishes His kingdom and Satan will be bound and nothing evil can happen anymore. From that moment on, when the Lord takes His own home, we have nothing to fear anymore. Then there is no trial anymore, no battle, no sin, no temptation, nothing. Then we feel well throughout all eternities. For this we are very, very grateful. I don't want to miss to especially welcome our Italian and French speaking brethren very warmly. We had this afternoon already in Mülheim a wonderful Bible class. These people have a nice mentality. They can be open, they can be free. We can learn something from them, and maybe we can use a bit of it. Then we have a brother here from Ethiopia. Him we would like to welcome in a special way. I don't know precisely where he sits at the moment. Is the brother here? Yes.
Would you please stand, brother, so we can welcome you in a special way? Would you just stand for a moment? Yeah.
Yes. Be welcome and God bless you. A man on whom one can see that he is intelligent. He speaks 6 languages. He writes them, he reads them.
God bless you in our midst. We welcome you. Yes, thank you.
From everywhere, the Lord calls His own out. It's still the time of grace, and the Lord knows His own. Whether we know them, that may not always be the case, but He knows them. He knows where they stay, and He knows their names. And when the hour comes, then He calls them. I still remember my last journey, which overwhelmed me so much. It will follow me. In what kind of way God takes care that doors are being opened and people are acquainted with the truth. I already told you here and also in Zurich, but maybe for those who didn't hear it yet, when I ministered there in that country at the Persian Gulf for the first time and then heard the testimony of that man who until that time knew only the Lutheran Church and knew that other things exist but had no relation to them. And in the year 79, he, as a professor of the English language, goes into a US library and finds there the brochure of a German by the name Ewald Frank. In English, only believe the Thus saith the Lord. Reads, is overwhelmed, convinced, invites, and God opens doors in one and in other countries through, I will never say coincidence, through a foreordination of God. This somebody shall explain to me how this is possible in an Islamic country where Christianity, whatever denomination, is just tolerated, and nevertheless God has ways and means to call his own, to address them. And how often one hears it. I even heard testimonies where people out of a dustbin at an airport have taken a brochure, the one threw it away, the other found it. To the one it meant nothing, to the other it meant everything. And if one hears testimonies of this kind, then one just has to say, Lord, your ways are wonderful. One can say, recognize that the Lord leads his saints in a wonderful way. How often was it like this, that brothers first required the things, and then because they doctrinally tied themselves, they just couldn't accept it with that what Brother Branham received from the Lord. And then they made briefly the decision. It was even easy for them to make it. And it was, we or I am right and he is wrong. So away with that thing. And the other, who then received these brochures into his hands, he told me, just imagine, the Pentecostal preacher, he started to be angry and has then given me the book and said, I can do nothing with it. What you do with it, I don't care. He took it and God did care. God overwhelmed this man. And he said, just imagine, he blasted so much, and to me it became such a blessing. These are just foreordinations and leadings of God, which one experiences worldwide and sees in what kind of way the Lord leads his own, how he calls them, and how he brings them to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we have heard already a word of admonition, and nothing is better for us than an admonition coming from the heart. I mean an admonition from the heart of God. And the word of God comes from God. And whatever is written in it, this serves for our good, admonishes us, establishes us, comforts us, corrects us, straightens us out. Whatever is needed, this God can do in a wonderful way through his precious and holy word, through his Spirit, who reveals it to us personally, to each one, and shows what's it all about and what is important. I would like to read some scriptures with the help of God this evening, and I hope that the brothers who translate, that they can also follow. I know how difficult it is. From Hebrews 3, briefly the word in verse 7, Hebrews 3, verse 7, still in reference to the psalm which was read. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. When we read on, then it says that they tested God, that they tempted him, proved him, after they have seen his works very clearly. And because God, among the people of Israel, has revealed himself visible and feelable, he had to hold them accountable, because they, despite of these experiences, they didn't believe him and they didn't trust him. Not those are being held accountable by God, who didn't hear or see or experience anything, but all who have seen and heard the working of God in their time. What does the Lord say? Of this generation, all the blood will be required. It was the generation who experienced what was kept from all other generations. And when then the time of a special visitation of God comes, then we must be diligent to go along with the working of God, not to question anything, but to believe and to trust. Not a man, but God, who always, and this from the very beginning, spoke and worked through man. When God came to Moses, he said, I have heard the cry of the people, and I have seen their misery, and I came down to deliver them. But I send you, Moses, I send you. And Moses had to go, and God went with him, and the work could be done. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, we know the word came from the Spirit of God, and we know it applies to us also as an admonition. And the admonition is, today, if ye will hear his voice, we are not responsible for that, what at that time was done or not done, what was believed or what was not believed. For this, all who at that time lived are responsible. Today, in this time, in which we have the privilege to hear the voice of God, to hear his revealed word, to be acquainted with his will, with his plan, today we shall hearken to it, and not tempting God through unbelief. No, what he promised, this he keeps for sure. He fulfills what he promised. Of course, he was outraged with this generation. Outraged because he has done such great things. Deliverance, redemption, provision of all kind. And nevertheless, they could not believe. And therefore, he was outraged with this generation and said, they do always err in their heart, not even with their feet. There they might probably walk on the way, but the heart was not joined with God. The word was no living revelation. It was a must and not a pardoning for them to have been counted worthy to hear the voice of God. As it is being said in Deuteronomy, where would be a people which would have been counted worthy to hear the voice of the Lord God? Deuteronomy chapter 4, from verse 35. Deuteronomy 4 from verse 35. Unto thee it was shewed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven He made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he shewed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. All the other nations went their own ways. The people of God were called to walk the way of God here on earth. There is a way of God here on earth for the people of God. And Isaiah writes in chapter 35 of the prepared way, of the highway, on which even a fool cannot err. What makes someone err is unbelief. Most of the people have a good orientation, but they are not so much proven in the faith. And here we all ask ourselves how it is with us and with our faith. And connected with this, how is it with our trust towards God? For faith is nothing else but a trust, a being convinced that God keeps what he promised. And whoever does not believe God makes him a liar, and then he errs and walks his own ways and will fall. Then it says here in chapter 4, also a word which we a couple of times read in the course of the years, from verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, lest any of you should turn out to be left behind. There is nothing more terrible that it will be found out. The rapture took place and one is left behind. That for what people probably lived their whole life, what they were waiting for, with what they counted with, was then not fulfilled. And here it says that the promise to enter into the rest remained still unfulfilled. Let us therefore fear, not being afraid of punishment, but that we are not lulled into a false sense of security and say, don't worry, it will be all right, but having certainty that the things which we believe have become truly a reality in our lives. And here it can already start with that, that the first steps of faith were not made biblically. Somebody, and maybe we will come to these subjects, justification, sanctification, spirit baptism, and what else is promised in the Bible. But it actually starts with the turning to God. And there really, one brother asked the other, have you been baptized already? And he says, yes, of course, twice already. And this was not enough for the brother. He continues to ask, namely as follows, have you also repented with all your heart before you were baptized? Repentance? I didn't repent. Then the brother, of course, said, then your two baptisms are of no use to you either, for it is written, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The very serious question arises to us, to what extent things have been performed on us as an act, but to what extent they are scriptural and therefore have also received a divine confirmation. To repent means no more and no less to receive a contrition worked by the Spirit, to experience an inner breakdown, that one is lost, that one is condemned, that one is in this world without God and without hope, and that one did everything wrong, whatever one has done. Repentance is a deep going thing which turns a man inside out, which truly takes us away what we earlier thought we are, that we are becoming a nothing. Repentance is a deep going and necessary work of the Spirit of God in those people who are ordained for salvation. They don't just come and say, "Good morning, dear God, here I am." It doesn't work like this. The Spirit of God must lead us to repentance. That's how it is written. "Knowest thou not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" I don't even know who told me this and when. And this is, as I mentioned many times, my great privilege to have a bad memory. Therefore, a person can never be angry with me because I don't pursue a bad intention with it. But it really pricked my heart. The man can say, "Yes, I'm baptized twice." And then the question, yes, the question, "Have you repented?" And so forth. And then, "No." I was heartbroken. I then asked myself the question, how is it with all of us? Who still experienced it, that the Spirit of God comes upon a man, and that not only the eyes, but also the nose runs, and that one is really led by the Spirit of God into such an inner desperation, into such a breakdown, like being ground through a mill, and that in this inner desperation one cries out to God and is saved, and afterward one can bless and thank and praise for the assurance of being saved, which one receives after this inner breakdown, and then you can jubilate and rejoice. If I can't remember anything well, but then this day in September 1951, where one really could no more weep, but inwardly being in a breakdown which the Spirit of God caused, lying on the face until the moment came that after all wrestling and all supplicating, after the total breakdown, a joy of salvation broke through, and suddenly the tears of repentance and of sorrow turned into tears of joy. Complaining and moaning turned into praise and worship, and nobody needed to tell me that one may also raise his hands to thank the Lord. I didn't know that at the time. But that happened then also. A certainty in the faith, an assurance of being saved, which no man can give or take away. A penetrating from death to life, from being lost to being saved, experiencing the inner breakdown of repentance and of contrition, receiving the assurance of being saved in the presence of God. I probably say this because all of us would like to be part of it when the Lord comes. And we not only want to have baptized people, we want to have baptized people who went through this inner breakdown, who were overpowered by the Spirit of God, where everything has become liquid like butter in the sun. How much hardness of heart is among the believers? The heart is still like stone, and that means that there is still no new heart, right or not. And God promised to us, He wants to take away the stony heart and to give us a heart of flesh, which is receptible, which feels, that has compassion, that has bowels of mercy. We can actually examine ourselves, what God could do already and what still has to be done. Everyone who did not yet receive this new heart, in which is truly divine compassion and bowels of mercy, a heart in which the Lord could take dwelling, is transformed, is new, is blessed, feels, bears, and believes, right or not. If there is hardness of heart, if the fist law still applies, then we have to ask ourselves the question whether it's only found as a doctrine in the Holy Scripture, or whether we experienced it very personally. It is very much on my heart, and this I said repeatedly, that we not only would have heard the mighty message of God, for which we will be eternally thankful, but that we would be people whom God pardoned, whom God has born again unto a living hope. People who were not taught into the kingdom of God, but who were born into it. And I probably mentioned this last Wednesday, and I want to say this here very clearly. If somebody thinks that the message will save one single person, then he is mistaken. Salvation comes from the Lord alone, who shed his blood on the cross. But the message is for the saved ones. But if somebody says, I believe the message, and therefore I have, and I have, and I have, on these grounds you don't have anything yet. It must start in the right way. The sequence must be right. And I think therein is also the trouble of the various deviations, and I almost said the complications, among those who claim to believe the message. There one hears Whoever believes the message, he has the Holy Spirit. It's exactly the other way around. Whoever has the Holy Spirit believes the message. That's the thing. One has to put the horse before the wagon and not the wagon behind the horse. They are really all around the world. Who knows who? And I write it now briefly in the circular letter. If somebody says today or asks, "Do you believe the message?" then you have to ask straight away afterwards, which message and whose message? Today they are. I haven't been able to count them yet, but a large number of message. No, it doesn't work like this with God. Because God is a God of order. And with this I don't mean here now a quietness as on a cemetery, but a divine classification of our experiences and of the working of God and of His promised word. Everything must line up with one another. Have we received the Spirit of God? Then we will receive the testimony of the Scripture revealed by the Spirit and the divine message with all our hearts. Because then in us, by the Spirit, is a connection to the Word, which was inspired and revealed by the Spirit. Then not one needs to teach the other. Then they will all be taught by God. Then one doesn't need to wait until somebody gives a new interpretation, but one bears the Word of God in a fine and good heart and waits for until God confirms it and makes it true in our life. God's Word is always like a seed, and if a seed is being sown and the rain comes upon it and the sun also, then the life comes forth by itself. You can remember the example of Brother Branham when he spoke of the artificial and of the natural wheat. Really, the Americans are ahead with the German know-how, and they can create a wheat which in all its substance corresponds 100% to the natural wheat. There they make cornflakes and what else out of it and so forth. And then Brother Branham said, if you want to know which one is genuine and which one is not, then put both into the ground. Sow them both, and the one will spring up and the other one will rot. There you have it. Sometimes it can be so close to the genuine that if it were possible, even the elect would not see through the thing. We don't want anything copied, nothing artificial. We want God's genuine, pure and holy word as the word seed in which is divine life, and the germ will, if it hasn't come forth yet, at its time it will come forth. Then there is no effort needed anymore. Then we just have to let God rule and reign. If we are already at this word promise, and this we time and again have put upon the lampstand, a people like we are now, people whom God calls out from all denominations, peoples and tongues, and making them His own peculiar people, are people who hear the divine promises and who believe them straight away and are waiting that they are fulfilled. People who are in the kingdom of God, who were born into it as a result of the promise of God, have divine life in them. And as I just said, they also have the connection, the spirit-worked connection to the Word, which was revealed by the Spirit. At the same time, they have built in an inner blockade against any interpretation, against any explanation, against everything what here and there, left and right, is bent. They cannot accept it. The Word in them rejects that what is not coming from God automatically. It is not your or my merit. It's the grace of God who watches over His Word, which He laid as a seed into us. And by it, He watches over us, so that the Word, when the time comes, can come forth and brings forth fruit. Let us therefore fear, lest any of you turns out to be left behind. We know what is written there. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The people will cry, mountains fall over us, rocks cover us. It will be a terrible time. But God doesn't want that somebody comes short of the grace of God or is put to shame. He wants that we come to the knowledge of the truth, and that the truth makes us free, but that we are settled in the truth, being purified, cleansed, and sanctified in it. Now, we shall pay attention and fear. Who is it? I say once again, not being afraid of punishment, but also not being self-confident and say, well, everything will be well. Let us make sure that we made the biblical experiences with God, that the Spirit of God can lead us to a deep repentance, that we are grabbed on our inside. I almost said, maybe I should say it. It may cause unto us such a deep pain that we weep bitterly. Because we, at this moment, when the Spirit of God comes upon us and we are led to repentance, that we recognize that the Lamb of God had to go for our sakes via Gethsemane to Calvary to redeem us. In that moment where the Spirit of God comes upon a man, at least two things happen. We recognize us as condemned and lost, and we recognize the Lord as our Savior who saved us. A person who is led by the Spirit of God in such a lowness does not remain in the desperation. He comes out of it and ends up in the absolute certainty of faith. According to the Scripture, His Spirit bears witness unto our spirit that we are children of God. Here, a husband doesn't need to ask his wife, "Do you believe that I'm a believer?" No. This is then all unnecessary. Then we have the certainty from God. It's not a thing which we imagine, because we go through this experience, and we know it already in the Old Testament with Jacob. He wrestled with God. Until then, everything was smooth and well. But then came this fight, this wrestling, this penetrating, until the day dawned. And out of a deceiver, out of a Jacob, became a contender of God, an Israel, another man, with a new name, with a new way before him, with God, by faith, walking forward. We all, who we have to make these experiences, and I say on purpose, we must make them, or may make them. We want to ask the Lord that it happens with us, shortly, for we cannot expect all the other things. If not before, everything in sequence, one after the other, was experienced with God. Then we make to and fro with one another, and then everyone with himself and with God, and we don't come to any rest. Here it is written, there is a rest to the people of God. And likewise it is written in the prophet Isaiah, I just read it today, there is no peace, saith God, unto the wicked. We must enter into this rest of God before everything may storm and rage. But then we penetrate and come into this rest in God. And because the word of the Lord came to us in this time, thereby we recognize that God has his way with us. If he hadn't spoken to us, if his word would have nothing to say to us, then I would have to say tonight, God has not yet dealt with us. But because his word addressed us, right or not? Who did his word address? Most certainly all of us. And it not only addressed us, it burns in our hearts. If we look at the words of God which were spoken to us, then we are overwhelmed anew every time. This Bible has become a new living book. Everything what was earlier veiled in riddles and incomprehensible has been made known very clear. So, his voice was addressed to us, and with it his word. Here it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, please remember, at the end of every church age message, at the beginning it always says, and to the angel of the church write, and at the end it's always written, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is the big difference, whether we are only retell things or repeater of the things which were said, or whether the Holy Spirit could reveal and transfigure us the word. And then came the provocation, then came the unbelief, then came the temptation, and then came all the defeat. And God had to swear in his wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And then the promise, there is a rest to the people of God. Let us therefore fear that we enter into his rest, and that no one of us turns out to be left behind. I wish us all a very biblical way from beginning to the end, that God can address us, that He can overpower us, that His Spirit can break us apart inwardly and can work this remorse, this divine remorse, and then bringing us through to this certainty of faith that we can say, everything has become new. You all know, the first happens with a person through the Spirit of God, and then we turn to God. The word conversion means turning back, a turning back from your and my way, from my and your aim, from my and your plans, turning back to God. Conversion, turning back. With this reversion is connected this remorse and repentance. This is our turning towards God. And if this turning to God is accepted by Him, then He intervenes and gives us the certainty that we were reconciled, that our guilt was covered, and that we received forgiveness. In that moment, when then the certainty of faith, with a deep joy and thankfulness, ascends to God, happens nothing else but that the connection to God is established, and that His Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we have become children of God. And with that moment, a new heart and a new certain spirit is here. Not only that it just falls by the wayside somewhere, but a penetrating until the Lord has done what He wants to do. And then He even gives the answer from heaven by the Holy Spirit, who comes down on all. And please don't put me up against the wall about it. After all, this is God's word and is written in the first sermon of Peter very clearly. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the answer from God for the believer. Every other answer is an own answer or of somebody else. The answer from God must today be the same as it was 2,000 years ago. The man who converted to God and who follows the Lord treads upon the way of faith and obedience, goes into the water and is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. God looks upon this person who has become His possession, and this person is under an open heaven, and the Spirit of God must come down to bear witness, you are mine. This is the divine seal of a believer. And if it is written that we were sealed with the Spirit of promise, then it most certainly may not only be written in Ephesians 1 verse 13 or chapter 4 verse 30, then it must be written in my life, and it must be written in your life, then it must have become a divine reality. What use is it to us if we adorn ourselves with all the external things and have in fact not experienced them with God. Will the Bible quotes or the reference to it be able to save us? No, we must make the experiences with God. And I know that most certainly in the past many things happened which should not have happened. But this doesn't change anything at all, that people, even today, make the biblical experiences with God. Who would like that? The amen was weak. The amen was weak. There is a big difference whether people were only anointed and then walk on their own ways, or whether people have heard the voice of God, the Word of God, revealed by the Holy Spirit in this time. I am not speaking here to a charismatic meeting. We are not gathered here to somehow crown the Babylon. We are here as people who have been called out of Babylon. We don't say here what somebody should do, or even to fool each other. We don't speak of that. We speak of that we, as believing people, whom the Lord called, who have heard His word, and it was revealed to us by the Spirit, that we must make these biblical experiences. Apart from what all the others are doing. And Brother Branham said it very clearly. It is the time where they now, from all denominations, join together to fetch the oil of the Spirit. Then he says, no, this is the time in which the bridegroom cometh. For thus it is written, when the foolish will come to fetch the oil, then the bridegroom comes, and those who were ready went in. And what did they have in their lamps? Oil. And what did they have in their vessels? Oil. And with it, it lasts until the midnight hour. We don't want any sensations. And I say it once again clearly. We don't want to have here a charismatic debut performance or a theater, but we have a very clear right to the fulfillment of the promises of God. We have a clear right to all experiences which our brothers and sisters made at the beginning. For only in this way the church at the end gets to the same unity in the Spirit, to the same faith, to the same baptism, whether in water or in the Spirit. Only in this way we reach the destination under the leading of the Holy Spirit, after the clear alignment of the Word of God. And only in this way the divine unity comes about with Christ and the Church. Here, in verse 3 it says, for we, Hebrews 4 verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, we which have believed do enter into rest. I could read to you the word from Nehemiah, where it says, and the Spirit of God brought them to rest. There is a rest, a Sabbath rest, a complete silence in God through the Holy Spirit. We of course have the Scripture, and we know there are three that bear record: the water, the Spirit, and the blood. And we said it over and again. These three must be at work in the believers. There is no other way to the completion. For us, not a message and no messenger died, as if salvation would be in it. For us, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died, who brought us salvation. But because we were saved and have received life from God, the connection was given to us to the Word of God, to the message of God, to the kingdom of God, to the plan of God, to everything what comes from God. It was given to us by His grace. But firstly come the experiences, and to it comes the teaching and the introducing into all the mysteries of God. And I don't want to be misunderstood. I believe 100% that all true children of God in these days, that what God today, I mean now in our time, had to say, that they must hear it if they want to stand their ground before God. There's no other way. We cannot just say, I have experienced God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, but these things, it doesn't work like this. I don't want at any cost that somebody thinks that the Word of God for this time does not belong to the kingdom of God. Just the contrary, it belongs absolutely to it. I just want to have it divinely in order. So if believers are here who insist on their experiences but don't accept the revealed word with all the promises which are necessary for the completion of the plan of salvation, but walking on their own ways with trumpets and cymbals, they will not reach the destination. To them will be said the same word, as the Lord said it here, but they did not hearken unto me, and therefore I am outraged over them. Do you think God will not take the people who wanted to serve Him up into glory because they were naughty? No, because they defied His will and His word and His speaking, and they did as if He had nothing to say, and they continued on their own ways. God has His way with His people. He has His plan with His church, and the elect in all ages have heard the word preached at their time, and they received it, and by it they confirmed that God is true, and they went already before us. They are in glory. So everything in a balance. The salvation, the Word, the Spirit, the baptism, all doctrines, all experiences, whatever it might be, up to the messenger and the message, up to the completion of the bride church and her rapture. Everything must be placed biblically and experienced. Also, this we have set forth, that the theory about these things doesn't help anyone. But so much we may, and I think I can say this with a good conscience, so much we may say of us, that God has addressed us, that He has, I almost said, that He has spoken with us face to face. I didn't see any veil anymore. Have you seen it? I didn't see any veil anymore. The glory of God has shined to us in the face of Jesus Christ. The veil, I didn't see it anymore. I have heard clear and true words of revelation of the living God. And with all my heart, I may believe it. And this is the confirmation that we are on the right way. But that doesn't cancel that we individually must make our personal experiences with God to then come into this connection with Him and also with one another. Here it still says in verse 6, in Hebrews 4, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." What was it? People of God, a happy-making message, the promise was given, everything was there, and then came the provocation, then came unbelief, then disobedience followed, and God has done on His people, which He loved so much, worse things than on all the other peoples whom He never loved, whom He never called and led out, because He saw that all His efforts of love and everything what He has done, it had been ignored by them. And He saw that they always go astray with their hearts. A person whose heart was not renewed will go astray. He will go astray. That's the cause of the natural stony heart. Everything can be engraved in it, but not God's word. We need a new heart, a heart of flesh, which feels, which receives. And if I hear in our time with open ears and look into it with open eyes, then I really see two lines among the children of God. Some have a soft heart, a heart which one can call as renewed. The others have a stony heart. They speak of grace, but behind their back they have the club of the law, and at any moment they strike. A person whose heart was renewed by God feels as the Lord has felt. He will have compassion on the people. Warm and heartfelt compassion will be there. And if it is not there, then the heart is still stony. It is hardened. It's closed up. Then we receive things with our reasonings, and the heart remained empty. O God, create within me a pure, a new heart. A heart for the praise and honor of your name. As somebody recently said, I would like to be after the heart of God. You know, sometimes we have wishes, but here it's not only about wishes. Here it's about that God is merciful to us, and in our midst and in our life can work so mightily that in everyone, shortly, all these experiences could be observed, and that we all, in lockstep, joined in a divine love, that nobody needs anymore to preach about love, then one can say, look how they love one another. And thereby, the world will recognize that we are children of God. If this divine love was poured out into our new heart by the Holy Spirit, I tell you, There you can even love people who oppose you as your enemies. We ourselves have no enemies, this we all know. I have not one enemy, but many see me as an enemy. This one cannot change. It is always important what role the one or the other plays and where the one and the other stands. Our Lord, who was the manifested love of God, was hated, beaten, smitten. He had to endure many things, but he could, even while hanging on the cross, he could cry out, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." No matter what people might do to you, if your heart was renewed and was filled with the love of God, then you see with divine eyes, then you hear with divine ears, then you feel with the heart of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And then you cannot be angry with anyone. You can just feel sorry. But you will not let anything arise in your heart. I have really a heartfelt request to all of us, because I know precisely the one does not suit him, the one means this. All this is still a humanly, fleshly mind. In this way, we cannot please God at all. The one takes this side, the other one this side. A human, fleshly mind. With this, we cannot help any man. Place yourself on the side of the Lord. And may all the people place themselves on the side of the Lord. And then all is well. If the one places himself on this side and the other one that, then there are two sides. How shall it go on then? And then there is a bit fuss, and here, and then there are even more parties. How shall it go on like this? No, I say this out of full conviction. The direct end will be like the direct beginning was. And at the direct beginning, Satan had not yet his foot in the door. He had not yet an influence. There was the absolute divine love and oneness in the Spirit. One heart and one soul. And the place was shaken and God answered. Let us all humanly mind, which is called fleshly and which cannot please God, let us put it aside and say, "Lord, let me be minded as you were also minded. Give me a heart like yours, full of holy buds, full of faith and love," as the German hymn goes. Oh, how I would rejoice, and I think all of us, if God could give us such a gracious visitation, that each one makes his very personal experience with him. And then one doesn't have to ask anymore, "Let us pray now." Not requesting anymore, "Let us thank the Lord." Then everybody feels at home. He who must weep, weeps. He who would like to thank, can thank. He who supplicates, supplicate. Whatever one does, nobody is disturbed and nobody lets himself be disturbed. All seek the face of God under the blood of the Lamb and approach the throne of grace to receive help in the time of need. Today, we hear the divine message. We receive it and we believe it. And we are ready, with God's help, to follow the Lord until the end. May he only let us experience everything, what is necessary to it. I'm urged to say this now again, that we don't miss it on the day of the return of the Lord, and that it should turn out that somebody is left behind. If unbelievers and people who don't have this living hope in them, if they are left behind, they are not disappointed. They didn't wait for anything. But if we, who we lived for it and had given all our input for it, and then would have to be left behind, I don't know how one will feel. But no one will be put to shame who puts his trust in the Lord. Everyone can and will make his experience with God. I'm convinced that also this evening will bring forth its fruit by the grace of God in all of us. Blessed be his name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, which we could hear by your grace. Lord, we don't want to be left behind, disappointed. Give us a heart like yours. O Lord, we cannot take it ourselves, not even the inner breakdown. But give grace, O Lord, give grace in this hour, while we have heard your word. Give grace, O God, that our hearts become hearts of flesh, not as stony hearts. My God, give it to all of us. Give it to me. We can have experienced it, Lord. But how is it today with us? How does it look like today, Lord? My God, give grace to all of us, that we beat on our chest, Lord, and say, be merciful to me, O God, and help me in these days. Lord, you know in which days we arrived, Lord. My God, where people boast to be something. But we want to stand on your side, Lord. We want to walk with you, Lord. We want to be ready when you come. Take us as we are. This is my prayer and my desire, and I believe all our prayer. Help my brothers. Help my sisters. Help us all tonight, Lord. We come humbly before you, Lord, with a bowed heart, Lord. We call upon you together, Lord. My God, we didn't come because we are used to come, but we come, Lord, to be corrected, to be made ready for your soon appearing, for you will appear soon, Lord. You will fetch your own very soon into your kingdom, into your glory. May we not be deceived once. May we not just say we believed the message and didn't make an experience with you. My God, give grace to your people. Give us all grace, Lord, that we make an experience with you, that we can say, today, Lord, salvation has come to my heart. My God, help us all. We need thee every hour, especially who are in this world, in the profession or the school, the children. Help us, O Lord. We need thee, Lord, for we see it's a perverted time where the enemy twisted everything, Lord, coming piously, Lord. But it see that it comes from the enemy. Help us, Lord, your own, to whom you have spoken, Lord, and to whom you are still speaking. We worship you, and we ask for grace, for forgiveness, O Lord, for a pure heart, for a renewed heart, O God. Give it to me, give it to all of us, O God. Give us an experience with you tonight, O God. We need it more and more. We ask it in your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks, glory and worship to your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.